So for the past few weeks, we have been talking about the five vices. Does anyone remember what they are? Ego, lust, anger, desire, attachment, greed. Okay, so we talked about desire, we talked about anger, and today we're going to talk about greed. So these five vices are what are hindrances on the journey of the spiritual path, are obstacles in our growth. And each week we're trying to figure out what they are, how they show up in our lives, and how do we overcome these obstacles. So for today's satsang, I'll turn you over to Brother Narendra to talk to us about greed.
Okay. Sanatha Dharmki. Right. Thank you, everyone, for attending our spiritual discourse this Sunday morning. This is my first time at this location, but the sun is shining, and we have a chance to shed some light on our existence. Spiritual path is a very important thing in our lives that we sit here today. And there are many different things we have to learn. And the subject for today is greed. But before we even get into greed, let's talk about something where we seem to push, and there's a push and pull of illusion. The biggest thing, and I think the seed of all our destruction in life, can be edging God out. Now, God is a very charged word because we use the term Bhagwan, we use the term Allah, we may use the term in the name of Jesus. Many different religions are sitting here today, but let's use the word God as a supreme being that has created the universe, that has given us Om, that has given us Jesus, has given us Krishna, Buddha, Muhammad, all the prophets. Let's use that word in order to fully understand what this thing is called greed. There are many different desires in the world. And Krishna says, there are three gates of hell leading to self-destruction for the soul: lust, anger, and greed. Therefore, one should abandon all three. In the Bhagavad Gita, verse 16 to 21, chapter 16 to 21. It's a very complicated, but yet very easy subject, because all of these vices lead to many different illnesses in our lives. So I teach math and I teach physics in school. And a lot of the students I find in this generation are suffering from depression, anxiety, many adults too, and ADHD, attention deficit disorder. And the saints and sages say that the root of all illnesses are in our thoughts and in our actions. Thoughts and actions. I'll get to greed soon. And the thoughts and actions has to do with one thing: ego, edging God out. Ego is a very important subject because in all of our scriptures and all of the messages we get from all the different religions, whether it's Christianity, Islam, Hinduism, Sikhism, all of the stories have to do with edging this identity of God out. Edging God out means that we are the sole creator of thought. Thought comes through us. But we did not create thought in itself. Thought came from Bhagwan, it came from Allah, it came from God. Thought has been, in today's world, we could say downloaded or given into us. It's a faculty. Paramahansa Yogananda said it's a pseudo-soul. Ego is a pseudo-soul. So We think that we are the sole creators of every single action. We are the end all and be all. Our illnesses, whether it be lust, anger, or greed, comes from ego. And ego is a big problem because I see it everywhere. I see it at work. I see it in school. I see it on the streets. Ego is something where we think there is no higher or divine entity controlling our lives. But it is within us and around us and downloaded into us. There is a special mantra, a Bij mantra, that we practice when we meditate. And Bij means seed. And it's within our breath. And it's within every particle of our existence. I teach in my classes about light and physics. It's called optics. And light is a very, very interesting thing. The light that's passing through us right now contains so much energy from the sun. Does anyone know how long it takes for the light from the sun to reach the earth? How many minutes? Does anyone know? It's not instant. It's not instant. It's 300,000 kilometers per second or 300 million meters per second, and it takes 8 minutes. So everything takes time. We'll get into greed in a moment. It takes 8 minutes for the sun's rays to reach the earth, Mother Earth. So everything takes time. Even the satsang takes time. Our life takes time. Getting over trauma takes time. Now, I had a conversation with Borad this morning in the vehicle on the way from London. I traveled about an hour and 40 minutes. And he did mention that, does anyone know who Satguru is? The famous, whether or not you believe he's real or not. The important conversation where Satguru says that you do not take anything with you, you come at zero and you leave at zero, almost. But that is not true. What he meant to say was the material things, such as money, possession, we do not take with us or leave with us. But you take everything with you when you leave inside of you. Do not believe you start at zero. You take everything with you, not the material possessions. Like, I'm not going to take my Tissot watch with me or my jewelry or my clothing. But you take everything with you. The Christians believe that you're born with sin. But the actual word is karma. You take karma with you. When you're born, you do not start from zero. You start from where you left off. Paramahansa Yogananda said that in our end of our lives, where your thoughts are determines your next birth. And this leads into where greed comes in. Greed is a thought and a behavior due to ego, where we believe that you're not obtaining enough. Like, everyone has heard of the disease or the syndrome, diabetes, right? Diabetes is becoming more and more prevalent because of too much sugar, too much processed food, and one other thing. Does anyone know? Stress. Thank you, Priyanka. Stress. Stress comes from thoughts and perceptions. Ego comes from thoughts and perceptions. Ego is saying, there's nothing else except me. I'm an island in this world. That there is no higher power. Has anyone heard the story of Sumandar Manthan? The churning of the ocean? It's a Hindu epic. It's a very long story, but I'm going to shorten it within a few seconds. The devas and the asuras are working together in the ocean of the milk, and they want to get the amrit. So the asuras plan to trick the devas. The devas mean angels or gods, and the asuras are the devils. They're training this ocean, and out comes the amrit. the Asuras capture this Amrit. It's the elixir of life, and they run away with it, thinking that they're going to get away with the Amrit. But the Devas have a plan as well, too. They talk to Lord Vishnu. Now, Vishnu says, I have a plan as well, too. That in this cosmic delusion of Maya, I will trick the Asuras. Because the Asuras only look at the outside. They use their duality of the two eyes. They cannot see what's inside. So has anyone heard of the avatar Mohini? Mohini is Vishnu avatar. It's the only female avatar of Vishnu. And apparently all of these asuras or devils are male. They're not dual. They're not binary. I mean, they're binary. They're all male, so they're attracted to the female spirit. So Mohini is the Vishnu avatar and comes in the form of a beautiful woman. And to make a long story short, he tricks the asuras into thinking that this damsel will be theirs and forces the asuras to give them the amrit. So the amrit is taken by Lord Vishnu, but they couldn't see beyond that it was actually Lord Vishnu behind this beautiful woman. So they take the amrit, which is the elixir of life, and they pass it to the devas. And the story continues, but the devas get the amrit. The whole point of me telling that story is the delusion or illusion that we only see with these two eyes. The power in reality has to do with the third eye. Does everyone know we have an inner ear? An inner ear. That if you listen to a beautiful song, that you're able to hear it again within yourself, even in the Brahmana, the divine music. All of these things have to do with ego, that the thought and perception that we are separate from God. So in the Bible, it does say one thing. Has anyone heard the term, actually, better yet, has anyone heard, seen the movie Wall Street from the 80s? I know some of the kids probably not have seen it. Wall Street with, I forget the name of the actor. It's a movie from the 1980s. He said greed is good in that movie. Has anyone heard the saying that money is the root of all evil? That is a misnomer from the Bible. The actual quotation, and I'll read it, is, if I could find it, so many things written here. Okay, in 1 Timothy, I have so many things written here, ideas. It says, for the love of money, the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after, they have erred from faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So it's not material things, it's the attachment to them, the love of money. So all the saints and sages say that we need many different things in life. But the root cause of all of our suffering, such as greed, is thought. So how do we overcome these deficiencies or problems in life? Because we all have those. None of us are free from issues, problems, whether it be relationship, spiritual, financial, bodily, mentally, all of us have these conditions. The saints and sages say that there are two regrets in life. There are two pains in life. The pain of not doing and the pain of doing. Has anyone been to the gym or gone to lift weights into the gym or tried to lose weight or change anything in their life, the trainers, and I had a trainer maybe 15 years ago, I had to get healthy pretty quick. And the trainer told me, in order to overcome and build muscle, you have to inflict a little discomfort. So there's discomfort in doing and lifting weights and pushing the body. And there's discomfort in getting sick. He said, choose one. Either choose the discomfort in getting sick or the discomfort in working out. And working out was very painful. Pushing those weights, stretching every other day, coming home feeling sore. And this is the illusion that many of us tell ourselves, that life is full of comfort. But one thing I've learned, and Paramahansa Yogananda did say in one of his lectures, if you want more time, get busy. Even a teacher in my class said, she said to me, that when I'm busy, I'm more efficient. And when I'm so much time, I waste it. So if you want to get more time, get busy. And you're probably wondering, Brother Narendra, what does this have to do with greed? It all has to do with habits. And you're probably saying, Brother Narendra, what does habits have to do with greed? Habits form thoughts, and thoughts form habits, and habits form thoughts and behavior. Greed says that I do not have enough. Diabetes and all these problems such as depression, anxiety, ADHD, problems with sugar, diabetes is a greed in which we lose the functioning of insulin. So if anyone has been felt thirsty, and not everyone has diabetes, and I don't assume that everyone has diabetes, but the body's saying, I'm not getting enough sugar in my cells, so I need more sugar. But what happens when we take more sugar and you have this illness or syndrome of diabetes? Your blood sugar goes up. The same thing with greed. Greed is a syndrome, a symptom of the ego. It's saying, I'm not getting enough love. I'm not getting enough material things. I am not sufficient in myself. So I am attaching myself to material things. So I'm not getting enough. I'm not being fulfilled. Just like the example of diabetes. I'm using it because many of us do have it. I'm taking more sugar, but my cells are not absorbing the sugar. And then you get thirsty because the body is trying to get rid of it. And then you go to the washroom and you're trying to get rid of the sugar. But the body says, I need more sugar, glucose. But your blood sugar is already so high. That is greed of the body. So the churning of the ocean, the story of the Sumudra Manthan, is an example of greed of the Asuras. And all of these subjects had to do with thought. And I always go back to thought. Because what are they teaching us in the universities and doctors and great motivational speakers is conquer your thinking, working out, and it causes some pain, just like physical pain. The true method is taking care of the body and the mind. Paramahansa Yogananda said that if you squeeze the body and let it go, you're energizing your body with prana, and prana helps to alleviate mental and bodily dysfunction. So you're probably wondering, Brother Narendra, get to the point. We need to know what the solution is. The solution lies within yourself, in your observation of your thinking. So So when you close your eyes and you sit and you meditate, it's not clearing the mind, it's attaching itself to the light. And light is made up of many different colors, like physical light. I said that the sun takes 8 minutes for that sun's rays from Savitur to enter Mother Earth. So it does take time to achieve. And you're thinking, Brahmananda, what is the solution? Solution lies within yourself. All of these things are from the third eye, breathing, exercising the body. And it's so simple, yet so complicated. Because what's the first thing we do when we have to do something very, very difficult? It's to make excuses. I do it all the time. I'll do it tomorrow. I'm a little tired. I'm hungry. Oh, I got this bill to pay. It's training the mind to take comfort in a little discomfort. So greed is telling you, I do not have enough money in the bank account because of one thing, of fear. Do you know what fear stands for nowadays in philosophy? Say again?
False emotions appearing real.
False emotions appearing real or false evidence appearing real. I see it all the time. I see it all the time within myself. The masters say that each master is not a master because they master over someone else, but they master over themselves. So currently I'm a teacher. I used to be an engineer. And for many years I worked as an engineer. I worked for many different companies around Toronto, London. And these companies are no longer available. They went bankrupt. They went out of business. One company had $450 million in debt and they went bankrupt. So I'm a teacher now, and there's a thing where you can get credit for your experience. So I go back to these companies, and some of these companies are closed. But I was having extreme difficulty contacting these companies. I'll get to the point in a minute. Probably wondering what in the world, where is he going with this? So I wasn't successful in getting contact with these companies because your record of employment in Service Canada only goes back a few years. The first thing that came to my mind is, I'm in trouble. I will not get any information because all these companies are closed. It's been 20 years. And fear came into my mind because I want to increase my salary. I want to have credit for my experience. The first thing came into my mind was fear. False evidence appearing real. This is the problem with your thinking, because thought is very black and white. So I said to myself, I'm never going to get the information. But then I said to myself, practice what you preach, because this is false evidence appearing real. It's saying, in reality, you're not going to get the information from these companies because they're closed and there is no way. Where there is God, there's always a way. It's your thought is limited. So what I did, I kept trying. So I drove to this one company in London. It's called Diamond Aircraft. And I said, Bhagwan, Guru, Krishna, all the gods, help me. I need some help. Okay? So all the saints and sages say, do not need to complain to other people. Complain to God. He's not only the creator of the universe, but has your solution. So I was a little worried. So I went into the company and I said, there's got to be, today's the day that I'm going to get this information. Because nobody answers the phone anymore. Nobody responds on LinkedIn. The secretary doesn't answer the phone if you leave a message. This is the day and age of you have to go in person. So I have LinkedIn, nobody responds. Calls, nobody responds. Leave a message, nobody responds. So imagine I'm trying to get this information for work. So my first thing is fear. I'm not going to get this information. I'm going to be stuck at a certain pay grade. So I'll get to the point. So I walk. It's freezing cold. It's minus 33 degrees. I'm walking. And I said, oh, boy. I hope that someone is there at work, at my old workplace. Go there. And the secretary opens the door. I say, hi, my name is Narendra. I'm a former engineer. I'm looking for some information. She says, okay, great. What information are you looking for? And I told her what I'm looking for. She says, we have the exact person you'll need. I will go and get him. So she was very helpful. And I'm talking to this person from HR. And he's like, you know what, Narendra? I don't think we're going to be able to get what you're looking for because our records only go back 8 years. What's the second emotion that comes out of me? A little anger and a little fear. False evidence appearing real. So the reality is telling me I'm not going to get this information. It's been too long. I've been out of the workforce too long. He said, but let me see what I can do. I get home, email a couple of friends, and I tell them that I'm working on something. And I'm just praying that if it's meant to be, I'll get this information. 20 minutes later, ding, I get an email, full information. All the information is there. And I'm able to submit it to my work. And I was so happy. So there's a lesson in this. Even when you're walking at all the signs, even Paramahansa Yogananda says, even if all the signs says you're not going to succeed, you're sick, you're not going to get healthy, nothing is going to work, you keep going. You put one foot in front of the other and you keep going, regardless of what the doctors say, what others say, and most importantly, what your thoughts may say. Because thoughts can betray you. You want to propel yourself forward in this world of lust, greed, envy, jealousy. You push yourself forward. You keep going. I see it in the workplace all the time. I used to think that there was something wrong with me in all cases. I would go into work, and I'll wrap this up soon, and I would find jealous people, angry people, people would put me down, bad reviews, bosses saying this, saying that, coworkers saying this, saying that, greed, taking over the credit for things. But one thing I find is that even small men cast big shadows in this world. Small men cast big shadows. You know, when small people cast big shadows, the sun is rising, that's their day. But the sun will set. So when the sun is on the horizon, small men cast big shadows. One thing I find, the greater your light, the stronger the opposition. And you'll find this in school for the young ones, for the old ones, and in the ones in the middle. Do not believe necessarily what other people think. They want to chop the heads off of you to make themselves look taller. And it happens all the time. And you're wondering where I'm going with this. What I'm saying is, do not let the outside world, their greed, their envy, color your world. The only reason a ship sinks is what? Is when the water breaches the hull. Inside the boat. The Titanic was supposed to be unsinkable. It hit an iceberg and the water entered the ship. Do not let the water enter your ship. You stay reasonably positive through the course of meditation and you go. And I speak from experience. Many different things have happened. I called Guru many different times, crying on the phone, Maharaji, I'm not well, I'm sick, this, that, the other. Maharaji cut me off so many times and says, continue to meditate. Said that the mind and the heart are not aligned. So your heart is saying, I want spirituality. But the mind is saying, fear, ego, greed, lust, anger. There's a world beyond the outside world, and it lies within you. All of our consciousness and reality has to do with our own thinking and perception. And the solution lies in our ancestors and our gurus and our saints. Take care of the body, yoga. Take care of the breath, pranayama. Take care of the atma, meditation. And you have to continue to go. Keep going and never stop. Never, ever, ever stop. Paramahansa Yogananda said, a single thought can lead to your redemption. I can, I will. But there's a problem, and I'll end this really soon, that the universe sends back signals. If you're strong enough, you can overcome absolutely anything. And everything that happens to you is because of your thinking and your karma. Karma is action. So if you sit up one day and you say, why me? Why me? God might turn around and say, why not you? Why not you? We have all been chosen to be here today through our mothers and our fathers and our ancestors, but we can overcome anything, absolutely any karma, because thought is energy, and energy is permeating throughout your whole body. So this originally, the satsang was about greed, but has to do more with ego and the relationship with God, because that is the cure for greed. It leads to many different points of destruction. Greed, lust, anger. And when we're young, we have all of these emotions. But it's a sad story when we get older and we still have these things. All the saints and sages say, focus on me. Regardless, one of the Swamis in India told me that Guruji told him that regardless of what happens on the outside in this ashram, focus on me, focus on the third eye. Because this is a zoo, he told me. Many different, it's like you go to the hospital to get well, you only find sick people. When you go to the ashram, you find sick people. Spiritually, mentally, and all of the stages. So he was told, and he told me, Raji told him, focus on me only, the goal. So I will end it with that. Many different things were spoken today. The whole essence of it is to meditate, to practice physical activity, mental activity, and spiritual activity in order to overcome all the vice. So bolye Shri Ashutosh Raji ki, Sanat Adanti.